Welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. The New York Auto Show is in full swing today with General Motors unveiling some hot new rides, including the 2013 Cadillac SRX. To talk about what's being introduced to the public and what kind of a year GM is in for, I'm joined by James Bell, GM Head of Consumer Affairs. James, thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
These auto shows, they just keep coming. Detroit, Chicago, now New York. Which one is your favorite one?
Oh, boy. If you knew how many frequent flyer miles I'm collecting attending all these things, it's hard to keep track. But I think this New York show has kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. It's the final show in the major show calendar. So you start with L.A. in the fall. Then you go to Detroit, obviously, in January. The Chicago show, which attracts the most people, over 1 million people in February. And then you end up with here in New York. And there's such a sense of kind of renewal and positive spirit. Our seasonally adjusted sales rates have been looking at being over 14.5 million vehicles this year, which we haven't seen in 5 or 6 years.
Now, before we get to all these new models, I do want to ask you, since I have you here, you are the head of consumer affairs. I'm guessing you drive a GM vehicle. Do you upgrade the vehicle every couple of years? And which GM car do you drive yourself?
Well, actually, I upgrade about every 4 months because they want to keep me in, fresh stuff and keep new kind of connected to what the latest and greatest is. I'm currently in a GMC Terrain, but in 2 weeks, I'm going to be handing over the keys and collecting a Chevrolet Volt, which I'm very excited about. As an ex-journalist, I've driven the Volt pretty extensively, but I've never lived with one, and so I'm pretty excited to see what that's all about.
So let's get to these vehicles. The 2013 Cadillac SRX is going to be built right here in Lansing, I believe.
That's right. Yep. The SRX has been a huge success for Cadillac. It's been, the current generation came into the marketplace, the previous generation, it struggled. It was number 9 in its segment. It really hadn't captured the imagination that General Motors had hoped. Now we shoot ahead a couple years, and the 2012 and older generations have crawled their way up to number 2 in the segment, just behind the Lexus RX 350, which has been the heavyweight in that class for a long time. So now what does Cadillac do? Well, they make it even better. They bring in some new enhancements to its taillight and headlight look, a couple nice additions on the inside, including the new Cadillac Q system, or Cadillac User Experience, which is basically, if you think about bringing an iPad-type experience to the dashboard, that's the best way to explain it.
Yeah, I'm guessing these technological upgrades, this Q system, they're across the board. Is that also in the new 2013 Buick Enclave?
No, it's a Cadillac sort of exclusive thing, at least here initially, but if you do promise not to tell anybody, I think you're going to see that functionality in just about every GM product in the very near future.
GM is also showing off the 2013 Chevrolet Spark. It's a zippy little car. Seems like that's really what consumers are looking for now, these small, fuel-efficient cars. How big of a seller do you expect the Spark to be?
Well, we see the Spark as being just a great third leg, if you will, in a little group of small, efficient GM cars or Chevrolet-branded cars that just never existed before. You know, when you think back to a couple years ago, if you talked GM small car, you were talking about the Cobalt. And while the Cobalt was reasonably well put together and, you know, wasn't a deficit necessarily, it didn't have a lot of attraction. It wasn't a vehicle that people aspired to own. Since then, we've introduced the Cruze, which has done exceptionally well, broken sales records and done much better than we expected. Then on top of that, in the last 4 or 5 months, the Sonic has been on the market, which is obviously a 1.4-liter turbocharged vehicle with great suspension and handling. So it's a small car that's efficient and fun to drive, which is a rare thing to find, especially in the GM stable of vehicles in the past. And then you add to that the Spark as being the $12,000 kind of leader vehicle, a great alternative to somebody who's looking to buying a used car.
I'm talking to James Bell, General Motors Head of Consumer Affairs. James, I had Michelle Krebs on the show yesterday with Edmunds.com. You know, she said that even though yesterday's good news across the board for automakers that sales were up is good, GM's 12% increase in sales for March was actually disappointing, that Chevrolet is really carrying the load for GM. Buick is struggling, and Cadillac is in a transformational stage right now, which is causing a slowdown in sales there. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, with Cadillac, I will say that, you know, we were discontinued the DTS and the STS in anticipation of the XTS, which will be hitting dealers, I want to think, in probably June of this year, maybe, or July. So, yeah, we're in kind of a funny phase where the Cadillac dealership is really being run by Escalades and CTSs and SRXs. So there's you know, a little gap in the product portfolio there, which is going to be solved by the XTS. And then, of course, the ATS, the BMW 3 Series Fighter, shows up later in the fall. So we're expecting that, you know, this little lull will pass very quickly. And with Buick, you know, it's still a brand that people have to be kind of reacquainted with. I still am asked on a regular basis, why in the world did General Motors keep Buick and let Pontiac go or let Saturn go? Well, that's because, number one, Buick is very, very important to General Motors' global health in Asia and other markets.
Well, when you talk about global sales, you're really talking about China, which is the big story right now. Almost 16.5 million vehicles were purchased in China last year. That's up from just 7.5 million in 2009. Vehicle sales in China have jumped more than fivefold in the past decade. How much of GM's total sales does China make up right now, then?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know the exact number, but I do know that we sell more Buicks in China than we do in the U.S. and other places around the world combined. So it's obviously a very important brand for that area. And China, we're seeing some slowing in the growth there because you've got a kind of a slowing down in that middle class in China.
The vehicles sold in China, are they produced in China also?
In most cases, yes. In fact, the LaCrosse was actually engineered and designed in China and brought over to the U.S. pretty much as is. The only real key difference is that the American LaCrosse handles a little better. The Chinese customer likes a kind of a soft, cushy ride like you would have maybe thought from American manufacturers going back to the 50s. But when you get in the back seat of LaCrosse, it really makes sense because it's very cavernous back there, and that class of customer in China generally has a driver.
And the price points in China then they're significantly lower than they are here in the U.S. too?
Not necessarily. In fact, in the luxury brands, I just saw some data recently in regards to Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz S-Class, which might sell here for around $100,000, sells there for $180,000. And so, again, you've got this great dichotomy kind of growing between the haves and the have-nots in China, which brings up a whole other political discussion. But, you know, they're able to command higher prices because you've got these customers coming in who have money suddenly in their pockets, and they want to be part of what the rest of the world's been doing for many years.
I need to ask you about gas prices. You know they're going up. They're getting to some record-high territories now. How much attention does the price of gas get at GM, and is there a correlation between the price of gas and general auto sales?
Well, in the last gas run-up a few years ago, there definitely was. I think the difference being this time is that we're getting, you know, very high prices. I live in Los Angeles, and I filled up the other day for $4.69 a gallon. So it's definitely higher than it was in the past. But you have to remember that people's, you know, those that have kept jobs or taken on new jobs, we're earning a little bit more money, too. So you're not feeling the same pain as we did going back to 2007 and 8. So it's a little bit different scenario person to person. But in regards to its overall impact, I think it's great to know that, you know, GM was really kind of caught with its pants down when the gas prices went up before. In fact, in 2008, I think it's 16% of GM's fleet was 30 miles per gallon or better. Shoot ahead to 2012, and over 40% of our fleet is 30 miles per gallon or better. So the company is in a much better position to take advantage of, you know, a rush on more efficient cars. And, of course, we've got vehicles like the Volt and the e-assist propulsion system that's now in from vehicles like the Impala to the Regal to the Malibu, you know, real mainstream vehicles that are going to use electrification to get those fuel efficiency gains.
Although the vast majority of vehicles sold by GM, they're not hybrids or electric vehicles. How are the higher fuel efficiency standards going to be hit by GM, and how are they improving the engines now, do you know?
Three different ways. First off, aerodynamics is going to be a big focus. I mean, the 2012 new Chevrolet Impala has second only to the Chevrolet Volt when it comes to its aerodynamic rating. I think it's a 0.28 or something like that. So it's a very slippery vehicle to the air. You're also going to be looking at reductions in weight. Obviously, if a car doesn't weigh as much as another one, it doesn't take as much power or energy to drive it down the road. And you're going to be looking at much deeper integration of electrification in GM's cars in the future. And, you know, to some people, they might think, oh, electrification, a bunch of boring hybrids. No, actually, these are going to be fun cars to drive. because when you think about an electrified car, it's got gobs of torque, and that's torque that is available as soon as you hit the switch, so to speak, just like a light bulb. And so I think near future electric cars are going to become a seamless integration into most vehicles, and done so not at the expense of the driving experience. In fact, they'll probably even be more fun.
Finally, what is going to be the top-selling vehicle for GM this year?
Well, I would expect it will continue to be the Silverado. Obviously, just by sheer volume, that vehicle does very well, which is great because now we're going into the end of its model run, and we're looking forward to seeing the new Silverado later this year. I believe at the Texas State Fair is when it's first going to be seen. That sort of product still does very well for General Motors, but again, we're not so dependent on it as we were in the past, and I think that really bodes well for the health of the company and the fact that we can now sell vehicles like the Sonic, at a profit, and not just be stuck to having to sell lots of Silverados to make the company work.
James Bell, General Motors Head of Consumer Affairs, coming to us from the New York Auto Show. James, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
And we're coming right back, but as a reminder, send us some feedback. Our new email address, ccrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.